Hey there, welcome to Amateur Tarot Pod, the only podcast where two non-mystical hosts use the power of tarot to answer your questions.
Pause. For entertainment purposes only.
That host with the pause is Ben Noble.
And that host with the unintentional pause is Brian. It's like you were reading that and you couldn't remember if you read the next part or if I did.
That was exactly what happened.
Okay.
It's like you're psychic.
Well, magic is real. All right, well, we introduced ourselves.
Yeah, what else do we do?
Well, I guess we should talk about what we do, which is we answer questions, we give advice, we solve problems, and we do that using a very specific, tested, proven method.
Is it the I Ching?
No, that's a different podcast.
Okay.
Is that the one with the sticks?
I believe so, yes.
Okay, I don't know how that works. One day.
Tea leaves?
No.
Rolling bones?
No. Just spouting off whatever's on the top of my head.
Oh, okay. That sounds delightful.
But once we do that, then we read tarot cards. And there are a lot of different spreads. Some of them very hard. All of them we didn't learn. And so what we do is that we draw three cards. And in the order that we draw them, they indicate the recent past, the current actions, and the future 100% money-back spiritual goal guaranteed outcome for entertainment purposes only outcome.
And then we have a single card of the week that's for every single person. And other creatures?
Yes. Lycan. And then we do an outro and we leave.
Yeah.
And we move on with our lives.
Speaking of moving on, I guess, should we just jump right into Queerance Corner?
No, because we have a lot to talk about.
What do we have to talk about?
We have to talk about how we made up. You're back.
And you're back.
And Jamie, sadly, is back to her life.
Yeah, sadly for her. But for us, it's good.
It's fine.
Good.
Yeah, because, I mean, I like Jamie.
Yeah, we like Jamie, but we're both happy to be here as co-hosts.
Jamie,
you
can come back anytime you want. I didn't mean that to sound like we're happy you're gone.
Are you inviting Jamie to come take my place?
No, I'm just saying.
I feel like we just made up.
Oh my gosh.
You're like,
Brian, you always do this.
I always do this.
All right, well, we've paused the podcast, in the real world, about half an hour has elapsed. We're fine. We made up.
Everything's great.
We're back. Me and Brian doing the show as usual.
The way that we intended and the way that nature intended.
Okay. So we've resolved that. So we're back. Because maybe when the podcast started, you know, they were expecting like Jamie to be on here.
Sure.
And then they heard your deep, manly voice and they were like, that's not Jamie.
No.
So, you know, I just wanted to bring everybody back up to speed.
I appreciate that attention to continuity.
Yeah. And okay, so that was one thing. Second, we're moving on up, Brian.
Are we?
Yes. Last week, or 2 weeks ago, some number of weeks ago, we read tarot at a wedding.
We did. It was super fun.
It was good. I had to read for the bride at the very end, so that was a little nerve-wracking.
Was it a good prediction?
It ended up being about her job and a career change, so it had nothing to do with the wedding, which was probably good.
Safe. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. It was good. She specifically asked about her job, and I was like, good. This is nice. A good place to go.
It would probably be a little troubling if she sat down and she was like, I'm really worried about my relationship.
That would be very concerning. So, but yeah, it was good. Brian, it's hard, you know?
Well,
it's hard to do readings.
Particularly because we insist on not learning anything and we only practice one time a week and we only use three cards.
Yeah.
So actually learning what all the cards mean has taken this long.
Yeah, and then we had to do it in real life, which is much more stressful than this show.
When you're looking at people as opposed to people just sending in their questions and everyone's faceless.
Yeah, and then when you just intuit things, they can tell you that that's not true.
Yeah, what a bummer that is.
Yeah.
You mean you don't own an ice cream shop?
Yeah. So, you know, I guess we'll just stick to the podcast.
But if anybody has any weddings or parties or anything that they would like to have our vast experience at, we're available.
Yeah, good plug. We're available. We're very available.
Please call us.
Please. Even just to talk.
Oh, if it's just to talk, could you text instead? I hate talking on the phone.
All right, let's go to Queerance Corner now.
Let's do it. Here we are. Does it look different after our experiences out in the world?
Yeah, it does. It has a new energy in it.
It feels like, yeah, like we're more competent than we have any right to be.
I agree with that.
I think we should use that hubris to answer this question better than any question has ever been answered.
All right. Well, how fortunate for Jamie, not Jamie from last week.
No, different Jamie.
Jamie from Alberta, Canada.
And Jamie says, how do I choose the right career path for me? It's pretty straightforward.
Yes.
Do we have pre-advice?
I was going to make a joke and I was going to say, like, just roll some dice. And I was like, well, she's sort of already doing that.
Yeah, well, we specifically are not rolling bones.
No, but she is just sort of randomly just throwing her cards in the air.
Yeah, I kind of think if you're asking the Tarot Bros for career advice, you have exhausted all other avenues of career advice.
Yeah, this is sort of the last resort.
Though, as far as like people to give advice, I have had thousands of jobs over my thousands of years on the earth. And Ben, you have gone like the other path on the Game of Life board where you like have super, super education. So you'll be able to get like the very best job available.
Allegedly. So that's where we're coming from.
Yeah. So it's pretty much every piece of employment advice you could possibly want. So,
yeah, well, I mean, I'm probably not the best person to give employment advice because after working in a career for 5 years and like making money, I threw all that away to go to school.
So you had one successful career and now you're moving up to a different successful career.
Yeah. You know, what happened was that I peaked and I knew that I had peaked. So I decided that was the perfect time to get out and, you know, build myself back up, prove that I could do it again.
I had a similar experience when I was in third grade. I had to go to the sixth grader's classroom for my reading class because I was really good at reading and I felt like I peaked then.
And ever since then, it's just been a downhill slide.
I never did anything else.
That was it. That was your crowning achievement.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's go to the cards.
All right. Let's do it. This week, we are using a wicked pack of cards.
Okay. What's it called?
Good one.
Okay. I don't know how many. This looks like a lot of cards.
It does look like very many cards.
I don't know if it's just because they're thick or if there just happens to be 406 cards in this stack of cards.
It's the thickness of a fairly large Stephen King book.
Yeah. The cards, when you hand them to me, it's like paint swatches.
Yeah, they're also very tall.
They're very tall and very narrow.
I think they might be the correct width. They're just very tall.
Well, slightly more narrow.
A little bit more narrow.
Okay. So we had these paint swatches, these very thick paint swatches in the Wicked Pack of Cards. And we have Pip-like.
Mm-hmm.
Pip-light cards. And I've only seen cups so far, but there's like cups on them and then some sort of symbol that probably has something to do with it. But I'm not making the connection.
This is going to be a good reading, Jamie.
Yeah. And then in addition to the pips, then on the court cards and the major arcana, man, I peeked at that wedding reading and now I've lost all my knowledge. There's these sort of very realistic drawings, kind of spooky. The whole, I mean, I guess based on what you would assume from a wicked pack of cards, pretty spooky.
Yeah, it's a dark deck.
It is neat though. I would give this 4 stars.
Excellent.
Oh, here's a card that doesn't exist. It's
unless that's the Wheel of Fortune.
I don't know though.
Do they have words on them, yes, that say? Oh,
the other ones do. Like here's the Emperor.
Okay, so
this one is just
Random card,
full art, no borders, black, with some sort of geometric pattern, and then like a weird creature eating its own tail. He's got arrows shot into him. It's not a snake.
There's a chance that that card is just supposed to be like a cover card or something.
Maybe.
Because it doesn't match anything else.
All right. Well, let's do it.
We're going to leave it in there.
Oh, yeah, sure. Shuffling this, we're also going to need to pause the podcast for half an hour because there's no way this will ever work. I have to split it into two. My hands aren't tall enough.
I'll help with the other half of the deck.
I don't know how this is going to work. So as long as we're just shuffling and we're just having dead air. My wife listens to this podcast called Before Breakfast, and it's only 4 minutes. It comes out every weekday, but it's 4 minutes long. And so I think maybe we need to just have the, like, Ben Noble Complains About Shuffling podcast, which is just a 4-minute podcast, and it comes out maybe not every day, but you know, maybe once a week on like Thursdays, once we're far enough away from the Monday episode. But it's just 4 minutes long, and it's me complaining about how hard it is to shuffle tarot decks. Now we've moved on to the magic shuffle.
Yes. Magic the Gathering is real.
It is real.
My friends recently got special pack of Magic the Gathering cards.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a party pack or a starter pack or something. It has like six different pre-made decks in it for like six different colors or styles of play.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep inviting me to come play, and I don't ever leave my house. So,
you can't.
It's an easy no, but it seems like they're very much enjoying it, and they were not into Magic the Gathering before.
Okay.
I've never been in Magic the Gathering.
Well, I have at various points of my life, and those were different times.
But not terribly long ago.
A couple of years.
I feel like you replaced one set of cards with another.
That's probably about right on the timeline.
Well, should we...
Now that it's been 8 hours?
Yeah.
Should we get back to Jamie's question? How do I choose the right career path for me?
Maybe you could be somebody that just quality controls the size of tarot decks.
That would be very helpful. Now, the thing is, though, that I don't know that Jamie's necessarily looking for us to tell her what kind of career she should have, but how to choose.
Right, which is a much easier question.
Quite frankly, yes.
Because if we had to just pick one job out of all of the wilds of Canada, who knows what... I mean, a caribou hunter, of course, is an option. But, I mean, what else is available to you up there?
Also, if Jamie chooses the wrong career path, we can always say that she didn't follow our method closely enough.
We're already trying to cast blame, and we haven't even answered the question.
Yep. So let's start doing that with the past.
I like that your option that cast aspersions on us was the last thing that was said instead of my ignorant dig at Canada.
Well, flip.
The Nine of Coins.
All right. And here on the Nine of Coins, we have green. Green is the color of coins in this deck because all the suits have a color. And then there's nine coins. And then the symbol that goes along with the Nine of Coins is a little bowl of honey. And then one of those, what are those called?
One of those weird beehive honeycomb stir things.
Yes. And there is like some flies on the honey.
Are they flies?
I think so. They're not bees.
Weird.
Like a fly to honey. Isn't that a saying?
It is.
So there you go.
Do you like honey? Do you eat honey?
Yeah.
I also like and eat honey, but I've never used one of those sticks.
No, I just get the little bear.
Yeah.
And then you squeeze.
Oh, do you think those sticks are like a shepherd's staff, but for beekeepers?
Yes.
Because it doesn't seem to serve any actual purpose. Like a shepherd's staff. It's just a thing that says, like, this is my job.
Yeah, I think if you watch the Discovery Channel and, like, watch the bee shows, that's what you'll see. All right, so the Nine of Coins in real life
is about having a lot.
Having it all.
Yeah. You have put in the work, or someone has put in the work, and you are reaping the benefits. Oh, like honey. Someone put in the work, and you're reaping the benefits.
Yeah. And you're living that good life, because honey is expensive and hard to find, especially in the olden times. And so, and bees are dying, so it's getting harder to find anyway.
Did people used to train bears? Like, they, like pigs search for truffles now? Did they used to have bears that they would just put on a leash and have them run wild?
Yeah, that's what the stick was for.
Oh, to keep the bears in line?
Yes. Yes. Exactly. So the Nine of Coins, yeah, says that you're doing well. And so, I mean, I guess we're just going to intuit that in the past, Jamie had a career that was successful, but perhaps not the right job, but one that was financially good.
And if not financially good, at least stable.
Mm-hmm.
So good work in the past, but I understand, just like Ben, maybe you feel like you've peaked.
That's what I was going to say. Very relatable to me. Flip.
These cards are also very thick.
Yeah. Going to the present, we have the Queen of Swords.
The Queen of S Words.
Now this is crazy. Okay, so you have a woman, and she is wearing a black outfit. I was going to say, like, her outfit is space, but there are, like, white specks all over the card, so maybe it's not just her outfit. Maybe it's snow.
Oh, yeah, it does look like it may be snow.
Okay, and she's sitting on this blue chair, and then the part that I haven't mentioned is there's just a man's head on the ground next to her.
On a platter.
On a platter. Yes. That's the Queen of Swords.
Did you mention that she was holding a sword?
I don't think I did.
And she has a what looks to be a lock of that gentleman's hair.
So she's getting things done.
She is responsible for the head on the platter.
Yeah. And in general, the Queen of Swords is generally somebody who doesn't take no guff from no one.
Mm-hmm.
And is also somebody who is a bit ruthless in getting what they want. They don't really consider other people's feelings or the means by which they go about getting what they want. They just do it.
I have a slightly gentler view of the Queen of Swords.
Then do it.
I think that yours lines up well with the picture on this card, but I don't think the Queen of Swords is as harsh as she is painted to be oftentimes. I think that she does what she knows is right or knows is the next correct thing to do, regardless of whether it hurts someone's feelings or something like that. So she can come off as being cold and uncaring, but really she just has the bigger picture in mind.
I think that's good, yeah. So for the present, I think that means that Jamie needs to be a bit more, well, I don't want to say ruthless because now we're going with the gentler reading, but
pragmatic.
Direct.
Yeah.
Sure. Pragmatic is the exact right word. Yeah, be pragmatic about this. I think that this implies that perhaps Jamie has an idea of how to go about finding this new job, but is perhaps hesitant about that method.
All right. Well, what should she do next?
Flip. Glad you asked. She should do the Six of Swords.
The Six of Swords.
Okay. So on the Six of Swords, we have six swords and then one of those like medical heads.
Yeah. What's that called? Phrenology?
Yes. Which is, I'm not seeing the connection.
I'm trying to think of what the Six of Swords is.
A tough journey. Punting.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't exactly know how the like phrenology head relates to that.
Well, it's doing something that you have to do but don't want to do.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is all, yeah. So to say again, I feel like we haven't exactly directly talked about the Six of Swords, which is generally about taking some sort of journey that is maybe challenging or one that you were not super excited about taking, but one that must be taken. That's what the Six of Swords is about. And we're getting these two swords cards coming after this Nine of Coins, which speaks to this story that we've started telling, but it's interesting of there is this job that is financially comfortable, and then the story of somebody who knows they need to leave this job and isn't the most jazzed about it because they know they're giving up all this honey, but they have to do this thing.
Yeah, I think that the have to do and the pragmatism from the Queen of Swords bleeds into the pragmatism of the Six of Swords. You're doing something that must be done. Mm-hmm. And here's something.
Good.
Swords are also the suit of the mind.
Yes.
And so possibly the cards are saying to take a page from the Ben Noble playbook and go back to get more education in whatever you're most passionate about or whatever you think your career may reside in. You need to elevate the swords aspect of your personality and lean into that.
I think that's a good interpretation.
So should we wrap it all back around or did we just do that?
I think we just did that.
Okay, I'll cut that little clip.
Okay. Yeah, this was good. I like this deck. I could never read with it because you can't handle the cards.
Yeah.
But
it's a show deck.
It's very cool. That's why it's not five stars, because it's not usable. It's just a piece of art.
All right. Well, I hope that helped, Jamie. All right. Well, thank you, Jamie. Now, Ben, if you don't have anything else, I guess we could move over here to Card of the Week.
Yep.
All right. Let's do it. Here we are, and our Card of the Week this week is coming from the Ostara Tarot.
The Lucille Ostara Tarot. This is an old...
It's funny every time.
I'm never going to stop. This is an old one. We've had this one.
It's old for us.
Yeah. Yeah. The Ostara Tarot is a cool deck, and it's illustrated by four different artists, Molly, Eden, Krista, and Julia, from Canada. How appropriate.
Ooh, on the back of the book. I've never read this. It says... 78 card tarot deck, which leads me to believe there's probably at least 80 cards in there.
Yeah.
And
if you have to say there's 78 cards, it's because you're lying.
78-card tarot deck and guidebook connecting the vernal equinox to the reader's life. Includes traditional symbolism with contemporary themes, teaching core lessons and diverse messages. Created by four accomplished female artists.
This is a cool deck, and I think I've said that before.
I love the silvered edges.
Yeah, it has silver edges, and then on the cards themselves, they're borderless full art cards, but there is like a border transposed over it.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, you have these four different artists, and they all have different art styles, and yet the deck is very cohesive. And then the art, again, I mean, you sort of said it, of it, it is traditional, but then it's like got a little extra something on it. It's a unique spin on the traditional art, and a lot of animal, human, different mixtures.
I would say that the pictures are lush and textured.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm talking about wine. I'm getting hints of leather and cherries.
5 stars on this one.
Excellent.
It's really cool.
5 stars for the Ostara Tarot.
It's a deck that I would read with, but it would also take some practice because you don't have, I guess the normal cards don't tell you it's like the 8 of Cups. It just says 8.
Yeah, and you have to, from context clues of there being cups.
Mm-hmm. You figure it out. And you can. There are context clues on here, but because of the richness of the cards, it's like almost hard to spot sometimes.
I was trying to think of when the vernal equinox is.
Oh, March 21st or
March 20th okay. This year. But so we are in the time between the equinox and Easter is like the time between what's it called? Mardi Gras and Easter.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what this deck is named, the Ostara Tarot. It's all about right now.
Oh, so we made it.
Yeah, we're doing it. We're doing it.
All right. Oh, and 5 stars. So this will be in the bracket.
Great.
I guess the Wicked Pack of Cards had 4, so it'll be...
Also in the bracket.
All right. Flip. Okay. I saw this card when I was flipping through. It's the Queen, I believe, of Wands, because, well, this is a great question. Is it because she's holding, like, a stick, but also there's these big flowers that could be coins, but I think it's the Queen of Wands. And as you're trying to figure that out in the book, I will describe it. We have a young woman, and she's wearing a crown, and she's sitting on a giant lion in the forest. Was I right? Was it the Queen of Wands?
It is the Queen of Wands.
Okay.
And for the Queen of Wands, from the delightful book that comes with the Ostara Tarot.
A really good book.
We, for the first time in a while, have legit keywords. Exuberance, warmth, vibrancy, determination. And the text is... The queen sits atop a lion in a colorful landscape, holding her budding wand aloft. The Queen of Wands is the dominant feminine energy of the element of fire. She does not shy away from a challenge and is, therefore, a strong leader who knows what she wants. In a reading, she indicates that you are strong, independent, and able to sustain your own creative vision. She heralds energy and activity. While being a very charismatic and influential leader, the queen also warns about being righteous and temperamental. The fire of passion is within us. But sometimes it must be tempered by reason and diplomacy. I think we need to have a bracket for best little white books.
Oh.
Because this book is great. Full good. Color pictures in here. Good keywords. Solid description of the card.
Have you found your calling now? I mean, I read decks, but you read books.
Maybe. I do spend the most time with the books.
You do. You're the one that reads them. You have the most experience.
Well, that's pretty cool. Do we remember what the card is about?
No.
Okay, let me look back at the keywords. Something about courage, right?
Exuberance. I remember that word came up.
Exuberance, warmth, vibrancy, and determination.
Okay, good. I'm glad we could read 2 full paragraphs, and then we'll just go back to the keywords.
Yeah, we'll go back to just the quick things you can catch on to.
Yeah. Yeah, so be excited this week. Go after something.
Yeah, this is a good one for Jamie also because she had all those cold swords and coins before.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have the warmth of the Queen of Wands saying, like, just do it. Are people allowed to just say, just do it?
Oh, like Nike's going to sue us?
Yeah.
We'll find out.
All right. If Nike sues us, that'll be our first big break.
That's true. That's like, there's a congressman. His name is Devin Nunes. And there is a Twitter account.
Oh, Devin Nunes' mom's like cow or whatever.
There's Devin Nunes' mom and Devin Nunes' cow. And I guess he tried to sue both of the Twitter accounts. But, you know, as always happens, in suing the cow Twitter account, it has exploded in popularity.
By a basic misunderstanding of how the internet and social media works.
So, wait, how did I get on this?
How did you get on this?
I have no idea.
Oh, in case Nike sues us.
That's right. So yeah, by suing us, just as when Devin Nunes sued the Cow Twitter, when Nike sues us, we will become famous.
We will become Congress people.
Yes. Amateur tarot for president.
Are you 35 yet?
No.
Oh, yeah. I guess it'll have to be me, and I'll be like the oldest president.
Yeah, but I'll be like the Cheney figure in the background, like, Brian, do this.
Now kiss. Great. Okay. So that was the card of the week. Like, just do it, right?
Yeah. Now I'm getting nervous.
Swoosh.
No. This podcast is not endorsed in any way by Nike.
It is. Nike called me and specifically said...
Now you're going to get in trouble. Now you're going to get in trouble. These opinions are ours.
Alexandra Nike called me and said, hey, I own Nike and you need to use as much of our...
No.
As much of our intellectual property as possible.
Consider, though, that they stole their name from, like, intellectual property of the ancient Greeks.
It's true. But then now, like, since we're in a world that's post-Space Jam, everything falls back to Nike.
I feel like I should understand that better than I do.
Because Space Jam is like a Nike commercial, essentially.
Is it?
Yeah.
I guess I missed that.
Because Michael Jordan is like a Nike and Hanes commercial.
He's Hanes for sure. What's he up to these days?
Well, they're making Space Jam 2, so he's probably writing that.
Probably. Well, we're in the outro, deep in the outro.
Wait, does he still play baseball?
Michael Jordan?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No? Does he own a baseball team?
That I can't answer. He probably plays golf.
Everybody plays golf. Not me, but like all athletes play golf. Yeah?
Yeah.
Once you've been in a movie, you probably play golf.
Yeah, once you achieve a certain level of wealth, it's like legally required that you play golf.
Yeah, because that's how you maintain your wealth.
Yes.
What if you just started off playing golf?
Well, I played golf when I was very young.
And you're incredibly wealthy now. I guess it pans out.
Yeah, exactly.
Look at you. I'm not incredibly wealthy. He came to my house today with a coat on. So don't let Ben try and fool you. And look at him. His pants no longer have holes in them. A couple of weeks ago, they did.
That's true. I'm rich in friendship.
Aw.
All right. Well, thank you very much to Jamie for writing in with a question this week.
And thanks to all of our lols for being lols, for hanging in there with us when we try and figure out how to cash in on that Nike stuff.
No thanks to all the lols that we've lost along the way.
Yeah. Moment of silence for that.
Yeah, we were glaring in that moment of silence.
Ben, where can they find us?
Online at amateurtarot.com. It's a website, and on that website, we have a box where you can type in your question so you can be like Jamie. We have a phone number, 314-325-6047. You can call that and leave a voicemail, as so many listeners have done in the past. And if you call within the next 10 minutes of us recording this episode, you will get our permission to... go get a dog.
Oh, that's great. And you don't even have to ask your landlord.
No, just do it. You have our permission.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I did there? I said, just do it.
Oh, nice.
I didn't even realize it until I said it, but then I was like, I'm pretty good.
We have an Instagram at Amateur Tarot.
We also have a Twitter at Tarot Amateur.
And then we have Facebook at amateur tarot and group/amateur tarot.
You can, a fun place to go.
Yeah, join us there for some fun conversations, mainly about Harry Potter, sometimes about tarot.
There's a lot of Harry Potter, and then Maggie posts new decks that she's bought.
Yeah, it's effectively just Maggie's group.
Yeah, but she does a great job.
She does a wonderful job.
And Brian, he's on Twitter at ZenIronMan. Who knows the last time he logged on to that?
Ben is on the internet at imakingallthisup.com, where he sits vigilantly staring at the screen, waiting for you to write in. So as soon as you do, he can get back to you with the best advice on how to shape yourself into a creative professional.
I do respond to every email. So we're close. We're getting close here. And my water bottle is blocking the next point, which says, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. That would be a nice thing to do.
It would be an awesome thing for you to do.
Now we've done it. We've arrived at the moment that you've all been waiting for, the item number 9, thank you to And I'm going to say thank you to sushi because it's very good.
Oh, it is very good. Good job.
Spoiler alert. Magic is real.
Oh my gosh, I don't have cable, but are there B shows on the Discovery Channel?
I'm just intuiting.
I am getting cable.